The last time we were together, we discussed elimination of the body, but I'd like for us to go back and look at this again. I'm going to read these verses to you in Matthew one more time, and then I'd like to draw your attention to some other scripture. I'm in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good or clear, your whole body will be full of light, will be illuminated. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? And we talked the last time we were together, we talked about the influences that are around us that can bring darkness into us and how that darkness can affect us in such a negative way. I'd like for you to please turn with me to Ephesians. Now, keeping in mind that what we just read is, the Lord was speaking to us. He was giving us a natural example that can be a parallel spiritually. So look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. We were discussing this afternoon, and the Lord's been working on me with these scriptures, and I'm particularly looking at verses 6 through 14. And so I'd like to talk with you about these verses. Let's read them and see what the Lord reveals to you. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. Now, what we're being taught here is we're being taught some spiritual principles here, some spiritual truth. We've just mentioned the fact that what we set before our eyes has an impact upon us. Right? What we let into us. Now, look at what we're being taught here. That we need to be mindful of what we're seeing, what's in front of us. Because, look at verse 8 with me again. For you were once darkness. We were all once spiritually dead, weren't we? Before we were born again, we were spiritually dead. And because we were spiritually dead, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. To the point where we were blind to them, or we chose not to see our trespasses and sin. Or even if we saw it, we chose not to act upon it, right? But now that we've been born again, now that we are spiritually alive, we are children of the light. So we're to walk in that light. And because we're children of the light, because we've been spiritually reborn, I need to go back and I need to make a correction here because I made a grave mistake. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Because we are spiritually born again, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. the mistake that I made, what I said incorrectly to you just a second ago, is when you're not, before you're born again, you are very much alive in your trespasses and sin. Do you see the difference there? You're alive in your trespasses and sin. You're walking in those trespasses. You're walking in that sin. But when you're born again, you take on the new nature, right? You become children of light. And because of that gift, you're dead to your trespasses and sin because Jesus is in you. And there's no sin in Jesus. There are no trespasses in Jesus. Do you see the spiritual parallel here that we're making? To me, this was a light bulb, if you will. The light bulb being this. Thank you for helping me with that word, Lord. The light being, we produce fruit, and the light is goodness, righteousness or fairness, and truth. That's light. The light can be described as goodness, righteousness, and truth, and the ability to discern or know what is pleasing to the Lord. The ability to recognize what is pleasing to the Lord. When we're spiritually blind, we can't recognize and see what is pleasing to the Lord. We've heard it said before, a blind man can't see. Well, I want you to think about somebody that you know that has not been, that has not yet been born again. They're spiritually dead. They're awake to their trespasses and their sin. They're very much alive in them. So think about how that person responds to situations, responds to adversity, responds to somebody treating them wrongly. How do they handle that situation? Now I want you to think about your brothers and sisters in Christ who've been born again, who are spiritually alive, who are dead in their trespasses and sin. The light that they emanate is goodness, it's righteousness, it's truth, it's pleasing to the Lord because it's the Lord's light that's shining in them and through them. So, for me, I had an understanding of a natural principle and a spiritual truth with light and darkness.
Think of it as, when he's talking about light and darkness, it's the ability to understand the things of God and the inability to understand the things of God. Those who walk in darkness are not able to understand the things of God. And actually in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, where he says, let me just read this, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned." Now here's the thing, we're talking about natural versus spiritual. Darkness, we're born into the natural. We're born in the dark. We understand. Jesus told Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God until you're born again. Okay? And so a person, an unregenerate person, a person who's never born again, never been born again, is blind. They can't see. And so any information going into that person is dark because it's the information of the world. It's taking them into a deeper darkness. And not until a person is born again do they have the ability to see the kingdom of God, to see the operation of God, because they can't understand spiritual things. See, you're born of the Spirit. And so a person's not born of the Spirit. You can give them all the revelation in the world, that God has given to you, they won't understand the thing you're saying because they're trying to receive it naturally. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. You have to see it through the eyes of the Spirit. And so when Jesus is talking about that, just using a natural body, you know, if your natural eyes, the vision's obstructed, diseased, or whatever, then, for instance, if a man is physically blind, then his whole body's in the dark. If a man's spiritually blind, he's in the dark. You follow me? And if any disease, anything that obstructs the vision, then it's going to affect the whole body because you're not getting the true picture on the inside of you. It's the same way with the Spirit. If anything is not agreeing with God, you're not getting the true picture. You're not getting the illumination. And so, you probably heard the old adage, you know, they're in the dark. Or we could say that conversely, the light came on, or we've had a bright idea, or whatever. We're not talking about light and darkness. We're talking about knowledge versus not having knowledge of God. And then he tells us here in Ephesians that we're not to associate with, not to get into arguments and discussions with people who do not know the things of God. We talked about empty, futile, empty, worthless. Don't enter into those type conversations. You don't argue the Bible. You don't get into discussions with people over scriptures and try to prove your point and all this stuff. What we do is we can bring light to the scene. If a person rejects that light, that means they want to be ignorant. Paul said, if you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. You don't force feed a person light, but you offer it. Natural man won't know the things of God. It'll have to be by the Spirit of God. Now, you have this Bible here. You read this Bible, read this Bible, and read this Bible. But until the Holy Spirit starts illuminating that Bible, all you have is information. And so you're really in the dark when it comes to the spiritual things of God, where you have the true knowledge of the wills and ways of God. But when the Spirit comes on the scene, He gives light to that Word. Then we have understanding of what the Scripture's saying. Does that make sense to you? And so God is wanting us to submit ourselves to Him, so that He can illuminate us on the inside by revealing the Word of God to us. And that's done through the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Okay?
So, verse 7 says, therefore, do not become their partners. So don't become partners with the ones that are spiritually blind, that are filled with darkness. And so my question was, well, what if you already are? Then what? Then what do you do? Well, think about this. First of all, it says, let no one deceive you with empty arguments. So, number one, don't be swayed by the darkness. Number two, personally, I know when I'm instructed to share the Word and when I'm instructed to keep my mouth closed. So the Holy Spirit will guide you and tell you when to speak and when not to speak. There should never be an argument about the truth, because the truth is the truth. So, there will be opportunities when you can share, but there will be times when you have to just stand your ground. You stand your ground, and I'm telling you this because, well, I'm learning it. And I know what it means to give ground to the devil. I know what it means to back away. I know what it means to give up territory. And that can do great harm when you give up territory. Because then you got to backtrack and you got to take back what was given, what you gave away. If you're doing the Lord's work, you understand. And this is why it's important. It's important because if you have light inside of you, that means Jesus is in you, right? Because you're a child of the light. There's not one person in here that doesn't have a specific job, if you will, calling, purpose that the Lord has in mind for you, that only you can do. And so the Lord is counting on you to fulfill the purpose that He has for you. Because your purpose will impact other people. And so it's important for us to understand light and darkness and our relationship with light and darkness, because all of that impacts our purpose. Do you understand where I'm going with this? I am learning the importance of knowing who we are in Christ, of knowing who I am in Jesus. And if I understand who I am in Jesus, I'm going to understand the light that is within me and the purpose of that light and the need to guard what I set before my eyes so that I don't allow darkness to enter, so that I don't hinder the work that the Lord has planned for me. Because we can ourselves do damage that will need to be repaired if we don't understand the impact that our actions have, and we don't understand who is living on the inside of us. So, we've been learning about the Beatitude. We've been learning about how Jesus would like us to represent Him, what our character should be, what our attitude should be in certain situations. And I'm grateful to Him for this study because He's given me plenty of opportunities to practice on my attitude. And He's calling attention to some areas, and I'm very grateful. And I'm learning some things about what it means to spiritually mature. But part of spiritual maturity, for me anyway, is an understanding of the impact of light and darkness, and an understanding of what we set before our eyes matters, because it affects our actions. So, we talked about the illumination of the body. Think about who's illuminating you. Think about what's illuminating you, because it will impact you. And ultimately, you're going to find that it impacts the people around you, because it's going to impact your attitude. It'll impact your actions.
You know, this is what our colleges have done, Flew. Through philosophies, they have, this is paradoxical, but just humor me, okay? They have enlightened their students into darkness, away from God. You with me? And so the things that they're subjecting themselves to is getting them farther away from God, farther away from the knowing anything about God. And so if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Well, this is what's going on in the world today. The illumination or the light that's being given to the world is a pseudo-light. It's not true. And it's bringing people into greater darkness and taking people all over the world farther away from God. That's what's happened in the United States. That's why the United States got so far away from God. It was educated away from God. We got to educate it back to God with the Word, with the truth, with the true light. Okay?
We began to discuss the last session, God or riches. And we talked about the fact that no one can serve two masters. Only one will receive his true love and loyalty. I want you to think about just that statement in our study guide. And I want you to think about, we've read before and we've studied before, and by we, I might mean Romaine and I, about the fact that a house divided cannot stand. So you think about in the natural. Have you ever had your attention divided? How does that work for you? I'll tell you what happens to me when my attention is divided. I don't do either of the things that I'm trying to accomplish well, because half of my attention is somewhere else. Now, I have personal experience about what it means for not serving two masters. I've learned some things about money along the way, and I'm grateful for those lessons. But I want to talk to you just specifically about serving two masters. I was talking to the Lord one morning on the way to work, and actually it was my heart's cry. And I was expressing to the Lord how I very much felt divided. Have you ever eaten one of those Twizzlers, you know, that's twisted? Well, I used to love them. You take them from the top and you can peel it apart so you have like two complete strands if you do it right. And I was talking to the Lord and I told him, I used to be a Twizzler and I used to be wound together, but now I'm being unraveled. And honestly, I was crying and I told the Lord, Lord, I know that your word says a house divided can't stand. And I'm very much divided because I have two masters. And I can't serve two masters. And I don't know how to reconcile. And do you know he's so very gracious and kind to me? What I heard, and I heard it so loudly, I hope I never forget it. I heard, you are not a house divided. You are united with me. You are united with Jesus. So, the lesson I learned from that is, my one true love, Jesus, he's my one true love. My one true love receives my attention and my loyalty. And he's teaching me that he's going to help get all the other things accomplished. And he's going to help take care of the obligations and the responsibilities. So I'm really not a split Twizzler. I'm united with Jesus. But I want you to think about this now. Let's put it in context with the scripture. Because what he's telling us is that you can't serve riches and God. Now, why would he say that? Well, have you ever seen or been around somebody that is so focused on finances? That's all they talk about. That's what they work towards. That's what they put their attention on. What kind of house? What kind of car are we driving? How can we fix this? What can I buy? I've seen it. Well, I've experienced it, to be quite honest. So, when your attention is so hyper-focused on the things of the world, it's really hard to also focus on the spiritual, isn't it? To me, that's what this is saying. You can't hold hands with God and the world, because how can two walk together if they don't agree? You hold on as long as you can, but at some point, you can't keep holding that hand if you're going in this direction. The Lord's calling you over here, and the world's going this way. You're not Stretch Armstrong. You're not, Mr. Incredible's son, where you can keep stretching. But at some point, you have to let go. You have to let your hand go if you're truly committed to serving the Lord. Money can control you if you let it. I'm not even talking about money can control you if you don't have any. I'm not talking about just being a wealthy person. Because if money is your focus and you don't have it, that's all you're thinking about. How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to get enough money to buy this? I need to get this fixed. And so it can work both ways. I've seen it on both sides of the coin, if you will. But I've seen the damage that it's done. I've experienced the damage that it can do. And it can truly take your attention from the Lord if you let it. But Pete's got some things he'd like to say about this.
Well, just in the same vein that she's in, if you think about this, when you have plenty of money and you can do what you want to do, you don't think about God, you're not calling out to God to help you. You're relying on your money to meet your needs. Your money becomes your source, your resource. Okay? This is why Jesus said that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he clarified it to his disciples when they questioned, and he said, for a person who trusts in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And what happens is people put their faith in the money instead of putting their faith in God. And you have to make a choice in life. I don't care how much money or you have or you don't have. Who's going to be your God? Who are you going to depend on? Who will be your resource? It's amazing how people turn away from God when money starts coming in, because they start depending upon the money. And then they start using that to influence people to cater to them, if you know what I'm talking about. One of the things that I've seen over the years in ministry is how preachers, pastors, let money rule their lives. you know, they start out, they're serving God. Then they get in, get indoctrinated into the religious ways of the world. And I've been into conferences, and I've sat there, and I've listened to this, and it just irritates me, make you sick. They're talking about this church pays this, this church pays that. Hey, there's an opening coming over here, and this is a good paying church and all that. I sat there and I thought, does anybody hear the Spirit of God and I go where God says? The only reason you should ever pastor a church is because God told you to. And if God didn't tell you to, do us all a favor and leave. Run. You understand? Because it's going to be out of place. When I saw how they turned from God to serve money. You look at your televangelists and all this, and you look at their net worth, millions upon millions of dollars, and asking for your money still, you understand? And so they're using God to raise money, and the money that they're raising is their God. I remember this was back when I was working secular work. It was this guy on, I'd listen to the radio, you know, the various preachers, and this guy was saying, this is a faith broadcast, and if you guys don't send the money in, we're going off the air. I thought, you lying dog, you. It's not a faith. It's not a faith broadcast. If it was a faith broadcast, you wouldn't be talking about going off the air. You'd be believing God that He's put you there, and you're going to stay on the air. But people use God to make money, so then money is your God. So we have to choose. Is it God or is it money? Which one am I serving? Where are my resources? You understand? I don't care what company's giving you your check. You understand that God is where that money's coming from. That company can go bankrupt overnight. God's not going bankrupt. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, my God shall supply all you need according to His riches in glory, not according to how wealthy the company is you're working for. You understand? And so we have to keep these things in perspective. If I obey God, God will take care of me. And that's what Matthew chapter 6 is talking about. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't concern yourself with the things the heathen concern themselves with. Where are we going to get our clothes? What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? All this type of stuff. Focus on what God's called you to do. You focus on His righteousness, you focus on His kingdom, and God will take care of you. Then God is truly your God. But when you try to provide for yourself, you become your God. I want you to think about it. You're looking for a God to protect you. You're looking for a God to supply your needs. You're looking for a God to provide all this. And so when you start doing it for yourself, then you're your God. That's why I say you can't serve two masters. Choose you this day who you'll serve. That's what Joshua told the people. Oh, we'll serve God. He said, you're not capable of serving God. Look at your track record. Oh, we'll serve God. But you know, Joshua died, and then the elders died, and the people went back to idol worship, turned away from God. Never did totally commit. And that's what Jesus is calling for. Totally commit to God. That's why He told that rich young ruler that came to Him, you know, what do I do? Well, sell all you have and give it to the poor. Says he went away sad because he had great riches. You know why? He trusted in his money. Jesus wasn't trying to bankrupt him. He was trying to get the controlling factor out of his life so the kingdom of God could actually rule him. And if your eyes are on his own money, or prestige and power that's ruling you. God's not. That's where we have to make a choice. Am I in the ministry for money or God? If in a minute for God, I'm going to listen to God and be where God tells me to be, go where He tells me to go, and you never even ask about money. You never ask. And you know, it's amazing to me that, you know, I've been in a position where we were having to make contact with people about filling the pulpit and all that, and they want to know what the church pays. Well, I already know right now you're not the right person. It's not what the church pays. What did God say? You're not applying for a job. But yet that's what most people do. And Jesus is bringing correction to these bunch of religious people. You need to get your attention on God. Quit depending on yourself to supply your needs and start selling out to God and totally commit to Him. Time's up, so I guess we'd better stop there and take a break, and we'll come back.